those who the vaping industry go up in smoke. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Let's start the story in home ground in the UK, where children's doctors are calling for disposable vapes to be banned to protect young people. The Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health says there's been a disturbing rise in single-use vapes, and children are disproportionately attracted to the disposables because they're cheaper. Dr. Mike McKean is a paediatric respiratory consultant working with the Royal College.
We are concerned that we're seeing vapes that contain high doses of nicotine, which are addicting children to a substance in a very early stage of their development. We're seeing concerns that this could cause potential harm to lungs. We don't know what will happen if you vape for 10, 20, 30 years, because people haven't been doing it for that length of time yet.
Meanwhile, in Australia, vapes will be available by prescription only under new rules. The BBC's Phil Mercer is in Sydney and has this report.
Australia's vaping retailers are facing oblivion. Their products have to be free of nicotine, but they could soon be closed down by the government.
This does feel like it could be the end.
Peter Thompson is the owner of Everest Vape in Sydney. He believes a ban on recreational vaping will fuel the illegal market.
Without a regulated industry, the problem will just get bigger. They can ban the imports, they can ban single-use disposables, they can ban vapes, and the youth vaping will become bigger. The black market will get bigger and they will get through the borders somehow.
Under the government's plans, e-cigarettes will only be sold at pharmacies with a prescription. Disposable vapes with their multitude of flavours and colourful packaging will be banned. Australia's health minister is Mark Butler.
Vaping was sold to governments and to communities all around the world as a therapeutic product to help long-term smokers quit. It was not sold as a recreational product, and in particular, not one for our kids. But that is what it's become. The biggest loophole, I think, in Australian healthcare history.
Experts worry that they're creating a new generation of nicotine addicts.
Hi, my name is Becky Freeman. I'm an associate professor at the School of Public Health in the University of Sydney. We know that young people who try vaping are at 3 times the risk of going on to smoke. That's a real concern. We can either call that a gateway effect or you can call it increased risk factor. But it's a real threat to the success of our tobacco control program that we've had in Australia.
I think everybody started because you think you look cool.
1 in 3 Australian teenagers have tried vaping. It's illegal to sell e-cigarettes to children, but the law is widely flouted.
They've got a very high concentration of nicotine, which is why they're so addictive and, you know, they come in tasty flavours. That's what got me.
17-year-old Otto Maxwell has been vaping for more than 4 years. He doesn't think the government's ban will work.
I don't think it will make me kick the habit. I think it will breed a black market. Restricting access to it doesn't mean that you can't get your hands on it, just like you do with drugs.
For some people, getting legal and medically supervised access to nicotine vaping products may help them to quit smoking.
Tobacco firms have acknowledged that vaping products are not risk-free and are addictive. But they insist that they play a major role in providing smokers with a safer alternative to cigarettes. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Let's stick to Australia first. Its central bank has raised interest rates for the 12th time in just over a year to 4.1%. But the big markets news today is that after the SEC said it's going to sue Binance, the world's largest digital coin exchange, Bitcoin dropped by 5%. Now it's rallied back since then. The SEC is alleging that the company ran unregistered exchanges and misrepresented controls and oversights of its US business. Binance US called the lawsuit baseless. Tens of thousands of employees from British Airways, Boots and the BBC have been hit by a data breach. The breach, which has also affected the provincial government of Nova Scotia in Canada, was traced back to their shared payroll provider, Zelus. Professor Kieran Martin is a former head of the UK's National Cyber Security Centre.
It even goes a step further back than Zelus, say an obscure payroll company that most of us hadn't heard of until this event, because it is a vulnerability in a piece of software that's widely used in the corporate world called MoveIt, which moves data around the internet for business transaction purposes. And a group of Russian criminals that are well known in the cybersecurity industry, who go by the nickname of Klopp, seem to have got into this system using a technique that nobody knew about, so therefore there was no security patch against it. And given how widespread the use of the move at Thule's in global business. This could be the tip of the iceberg, and organizations like the BBC might be, and I stress might, there's an awful lot we don't know, might just be the ones that have found out earliest that they've been affected.
Professor Kieran Martin there. Now, solar power is to overtake oil in terms of global investment this year. And in a major breakthrough, a test satellite has transmitted and received wireless power in space for the first time. Ali Hajimiri, co-director at the Space-Based Solar Power Project for the California Institute of Technology, told the BBC's Tim Franks how they did it.
Basic energy transfer over distance concept relies on using a large number of transmitters working in perfect synchronization. It is basically a form of microwave energy. You can send it as electromagnetic waves, like any other electromagnetic or radio waves, but you send it in a direction so it basically goes to where you need.
What are the advantages of collecting solar energy in space?
One is that if you are in a high enough orbit, you can have access to the sun 24/7. On average, it gives you something about 8 times more total energy. And then, because of the fact that our system allows it to send it on demand to different locations, you can bypass and leapfrog this need for the infrastructure for power distribution on the ground.
If, for example, there'd been some sort of natural disaster and all the power lines were down, you could conceivably get energy to those regions or to just very remote regions of the world.
Yes, that's exactly correct. I mean, disaster areas, war zone where the infrastructure is damaged, as well as places that basically do not have any power distribution infrastructure.
Ali Hajimiri from the California Institute of Technology, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.